You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about David Cronenberg's The Brood.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Hail Satan.
Satan lives. The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Cowan.
Salutations, Brian.
Greetings and salutations to you as well.
Indeed.
Wow. Okay. All right. Always switching it up. I like that. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Oh, hey. What's up? How's it going?
So, should I just call you Michelle this whole episode
nope.
from here on out?
Michelle.
Nope.
That's weak.
We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey, and here we are talking about the 1979 body horror, I don't know, some kind of horror film from David Cronenberg.
The Brood.
kind of.
I didn't know what to expect from this one, guys. I went in totally cold. I didn't watch anything. And the first time that a little creature runs through the screen, I was like, oh, okay, that's what we're in for. What a surprise. I knew there was going to be something fucked up in body horror because of Cronenberg, but I was not expecting crazy little critter children.
That was like a theme in like the late 70s and 80s, where like Phantasm had like little people that ran around and the little monsters. And then was it Star Wars? We had the Jawas. This was a running thing in cinema then.
Small people that were childlike, but definitely not children.
Yeah,
it's so weird that like in close ups they have like adult features and like hands.
Definitely like adult looking hands. Yeah.
Yeah, but in the wide shot they don't. So like it's like watching an old Ren and Stimpy episode. The closer you get, the worse it looks. But the far away, everything looks really nice. Yeah, so it was very, very strange.
Interesting comparison. Yeah. I went there with you. No, I got it.
You
yeah.
idiot!
Come on, someone say something nice, because I fucking hated this movie.
What? This movie
really?
Was so entertaining.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
No, I
was bored
it.
Out of my fucking mind.
Really?
Oh my God, you know, it was... Oh, come on.
Mike, I think that this movie shocked me with how good it was at times, and how some of the acting...
Which
I was
times?
Like, oh.
Which times? Because the entire movie felt like it was a fucking community theater improv session, and I kept waiting for them to finish character and be like, was that good?
Now, the beginning,
some of
I was
them
a little...
Do that.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, every now and then it lands. Like the beginning, I was like, are we watching a play? Like what is
that? That's exactly what I'm talking about. And there are like 8 scenes like that where they have those kinds of emotional exchanges. And it just feels like someone gave an improv artist person like a really shitty like scene and said, here, try and be as emotional as possible and go. And then we just fucking watched it play out. And it feels cheap and ridiculous.
Well, I think the reason it feels that way is because you never see Oliver Reed's doctor character like really hypnotize anybody. He just walks in and he'll even switch characters. You know, he'll be somebody's dad or somebody's mom or somebody's child. And it seems like the person really buys it and they like almost believe it, and it's not just like a role play therapy.
So he is hypnotizing them, because I was wondering like
you
how
don't ever
that
see
don't
them
know.
Do
the
that.
Movie doesn't explain that it just assumes that you don't have to care, it just happens.
Thinking that the mom is like just wacko, but is she under, or is she just fucking insane?
No, I think there's a lot going on there. I mean, it's possible that she's insane, but I think he's doing a lot of psychological abuse here. And it is a thing where you have people go into it. It's not usually hypnotized, but it could be in this based on like everything. But where they have them go into the character or the person that they are, you know, having issues with, and assume that other person's thoughts, and you know, so that's what I figured that they were doing here. This was like really intense, and it's again, I would classify this as psychological abuse, because none of this looked healthy. There were breakthroughs,
for sure.
But I don't know, like, at what cost, you know.
Were there breakthroughs? Did anyone actually grow in this movie?
Yeah, a bunch of little children, yeah. Dude. What are you talking about? Did you not watch the film?
I loved.
Oh, you're
I
right.
Actually
they grew
really
out of the little
that.
Sack in front of her.
I mean, listen. I think it's really interesting to say, "Hey, your ideas can create a force outside of you and impact other people." I thought that was a really cool way to show that. Maybe not so cool that he was talking about his ex-wife, but you know, like, it was cool that way he showed
God,
it.
I wish I could choke that bitch.
Right? My God.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. I mean, we got to stop the evil, you know, so that's the only thing I have as a weapon right now is my hands. That's what we use.
Well, I mean, and at this point in the film, you know, it was all of her ideas had taken form and were trying to kill their kid. You know, like, I get the murder scene. I thought it was a really neat way to show that. I don't know that I've seen that before on film.
No, dude, when she opens up her shirt and reveals her pustules and her like birthing sac and all that, I'm just like, holy shit, here we are. We finally got here.
Oh my God, it was so funny because she like opened up her dress to reveal it, and I was like, well, that's one way to like reveal, and then it showed, and I was like, oh.
A lot more subtle than men, but yeah. Why do you think that the baby thing that popped out at the end was dead or didn't move? Did she birth that early? Like, what was to make a point? What was happening there?
I don't know. Was it dead? I don't think it was dead. I think it just
was.
You know,
what gave you the impression it was dead?
Because it seemed very lifeless, and at the end, like, you know, I mean,
like
did
the
it
prop
die
seemed lifeless.
She,
that's shocking.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm sorry. Come on, man. Like, this movie is just—it's trying for some things, but Kristen said the best part of the whole movie, like the whole idea that like your emotions might be like doing things outside of you, outside of your conscious control. But like that idea is not explored in this at all. Like it's barely mentioned, and then they just kind of breeze on past it. And
what?
The
you made little demon no. children. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the entire plot of the movie. Like every time you get one of those scenes with the doctor and the ex-wife, like, or I don't even know, I guess. The actual wife. Are they divorced in this? It's not 100% clear.
They're not divorced yet.
But they're going through a divorce.
All right. Okay. That's what it is. But yeah. I don't know. Forgot where I was going with that.
That's okay. The movie also forgot where I was going, which is impressive considering like, it's only 90 minutes long.
You know, I will say, for being 90 minutes, it felt longer.
But, bro, it fucking drags so much.
I thought that was like a thing. I was like, okay, cool. It's only 90 minutes. This one's going to be nice. And I was like,
and I was just
shit.
Like, the pacing is so fucking slow.
Really?
And it doesn't add to anything. I don't feel like ambience. I don't feel tone and style dripping from this. I just feel like when is this shot going to like tell me something that's happening? Like,
no,
when are we gonna
wait.
Do something
no, come
this?
On. This movie oozes fucking tone, bro. I mean, if nothing else, fucking Howard Shore's like score is like oozing it for the movie.
Yeah, it's doing most of the emotional lifting, actually, with that whole dissonant score.
You know, I actually think that the filmmaking is pretty solid. The lighting's pretty decent. Most times it's a little overlit, but it works. It's got nice motivation and all that kind of stuff. What fucks the fucking movie is the way that the old style exposition, and then the way that the dialogue is, and it's super flowery, and it feels like a stage play. It feels like everything's like very like overwritten. Yeah, so that
was, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I was struggling with. Most of it was the just the way that the deliveries were at times. But then, every, like I said, every now and then, when they finally would land into these scenes, they were like the really great moments.
Oliver Reed had some great moments.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's so solid in his moment. And he never breaks this intense eye contact, you know?
Yeah, it feels like he's doing like an acting class and everyone else is like trying to like get on his level somehow. But like, they don't realize that it's also just a fucking acting class and they're like trying really hard. I feel everyone acting really hard in this.
I like Samantha Eggar a lot. No, I like her.
I agree. I thought
she's big and she's very creepy. She's got big, like big alien eyes. And for some reason, she can always wake up and be this manic, but still have time to feather her hair. So
isn't that brilliant? Like, can we just take a moment to appreciate that?
When she's like always perfectly underlit, so there's just a hint of like creepiness to her, even though there's nothing like else in the room to motivate that underlighting.
No, it's more like center, and it's like she's got this perfect dot right in the middle of her eye. Not it's off to the side or anything like that. It's like
no, but she's also underlit. She's got like
yeah, it's a theatrical horror movie, man. Yeah. Do you listen to the score? Yeah. It's like dun 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 dun. I mean, come on, there is theatricality here. Like, I mean, just the fact that have little people running around with fucking mallets beating the shit out of fucking kindergarten teachers. Like, come on.
That was wild in front of the kids. That was great.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
That was great. And also, there's one little kid who also had the feather hair. It was so cute. I really enjoyed that whole scene.
That little boy that was like freaking out and then runs out of the room, like he's like overacting just enough that you know he's got some kind of job. Yeah. Yeah. He reminded me of my older brother, which was really, really funny. He wasn't born in 1979, but it was definitely a similar kind of vibe.
Did anyone else think of Peter Dinklage every time they saw Frank on the screen? That's our main character.
I see it now that you say it like that. But
yeah,
if you look at him in the movie, that's all I could see was like, wow, this dude looks just like Peter Dinklage.
Is that because the killers were all like little people running around?
Oh, no, that's not where my brain went. It was just more like his face.
No, similar face.
He looked familiar, but I couldn't place it. Maybe that was it.
I can't believe you guys thought the movie was long. I was really impressed with the pacing, and like every 20 minutes you have a murder. I thought that was kind of...
Did you time it?
No, I just happened to stop every single time to like, write down like, you know, a random shit that would happen in the murder scenes. It's like grandma dies at 20 minutes. Grandpa dies at 40 minutes. Teacher dies at 1 hour. Birthing shit happens at like a hour 25.
I think it feels especially long because we are so used to having a lot more going on in our movies now, and this is kind of quiet, and this is setting that there's a lot of tone in this, and it's just kind of living in this world, and we're not used to movies that do that anymore because it felt long to me too also, but I did enjoy it. But yeah, I went in thinking it was going to be a lot like I thought it was going to move a lot faster. I mean, even when the teacher gets murdered, since we were just talking about it, like It took a long time for her to... That whole scene took a long time. It could have been a lot shorter. I don't think it would have been better if you edited it, but you could to make it flow faster. This could be like a short film, honestly. Just cut it all out.
Yeah, with possibly a little bit more power with intimation instead of the attempts to show some of the things that don't quite work out.
But I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily like it just for an audience today, it could be a short film. I think this like in its entirety is actually really great. But I do think that's kind of what dates it is the pacing and the tone and all of this. That's what dates it.
I think maybe the special effects date it, but I don't know. I feel like everything else feels... This is kind of like how you want a horror movie to feel. It doesn't feel any dissimilar than like Jordan Peele's Nope or anything. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. Actually, that's interesting because I guess if you were watching a horror film, you'd want it to drag out and you'd want there to be suspense and all of that. I guess I wasn't feeling suspense. That's it. Maybe that's the problem.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, there was a sense of dread at times, but it was more manufactured than it was like actually something is going to happen. It feels more like something needs to happen now in the movie, so we're about to watch something happen. I didn't ever feel like, oh shit, like this is about to go down, or oh my god, like someone's gonna get hurt. It was just like, oh no, now things are. Was that just me?
Well, and I also think, well, I do think you didn't enjoy it as much as the rest of us, but I, with me, it was like, I was like, wait, what is that thing that just ran across the screen? Wait, is that blood? Wait, what's happening? And like, I kept, like, that's kind of what took a lot of the suspense out for me, was I was trying to figure out what was going on. Cause again, I think we're used to showing more than is what's shown here. Like the first time, I forget which scene, which murder it was, but when she gets hit in the head, I didn't really see the hit very clearly. I just saw kind of the blood, and so I was like, "Wait, is that blood or did something spill? Like, what's going on here?" And it was the first murder, because this was before I realized what was going on. The grandmother, yes, because it was before I realized exactly what kind of film this was. I did not look up anything about it.
Yeah, same.
This is the best way to go into this.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it a second time today just because I was like, I at least understand what the movie is now. Like, so maybe it'll be a little bit more sensible knowing where it's going and what it's trying to do. And I was just as fucking bored the entire time. Like, maybe it's just because this kind of movie is not at all my jam. But like, I just didn't connect with anything that was going on. I didn't care. It felt so... I'm sorry. I'm just repeating myself. Someone else say something fucking nice, please.
I did really enjoy, and I think this is what filled in those moments of like of time for me. Instead of getting bored, I was more like, oh my God, remember what the world used to be like. Look at all this stuff.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I feel like what dates this movie is the costumes and the hair. Like, this feels very 1970s. Like, even if it's like shot in Toronto or Canada or somewhere, like, you hear a little bit of the Canadian accent in there.
A little bit. Yeah.
It feels very Canadian.
Yeah. Also, the whole movie is just brown. It's like everything in this fucking town is brown on brown on brown on gray. Like, cool.
That's what it was like. Yeah, I loved it, and I
like the winter setting. You don't see that a lot in horror movies. I like that.
Oh my god, with the three little kids and their little winter clothes walking down the street.
Right?
That was so cute. I loved it.
I did love their snowsuits, because it was like, I remember like she's going into the classroom and she's got the giant snowsuit and he's just wearing like a fucking like jacket, and I'm like, how cold is it that every single one of these children is in the fucking like snowsuit that they can't put their arms down level, but all the parents are like unzipped light jacket.
Do you think that they modeled Carol Ann from Poltergeist, like total vibe off of this little girl in this movie?
Was Poltergeist after this?
Oh yeah. That was
early 80s. This was so
I was wondering about that too. Yeah. We had a lot of horror films where the kids look like that, with like the little blonde.
Yeah, with the bangs going across. And then even like the red thing that she wears, like there's like, I think Poltergeist 3, she's wearing that like a lot. Like,
the red kind of like stuff. Onesie looking. Yeah.
That's all I could think about. I was like, she looks just like Carol Ann. But you know what? Heather O'Rourke could act so much better. This girl is, I don't know, is this a directing thing or is this just terrible kid acting? It's just blank. It's like, you could tell that she's like, okay, now hit your mark. And then stand by the door and we're going to wait. You know, like, you feel like you're telling her what to do instead of like that there's acting moments. And she's just completely like a little robot.
No, it's like trauma. She's traumatized.
She's just constantly trauma.
Like, it's the whole movie. She's traumatized.
I also kind of read it as attempting to be traumatized, but it is a very cardboard kind of, like, she doesn't do very much. She doesn't emote very often.
Just
she has like four times that she even speaks. Like,
I did wonder if it was one of those, like, let's protect the kid from what we're filming kind of situations.
I mean, I would think that's a possible thing, but also they murdered a kindergarten teacher in front of the classroom. So, like, at some point, they saw blood everywhere. Yeah. At some point, the kids knew what was going on, because there's definitely like two reaction shots where one kid's like, oh, I'm supposed to look scared now. Oh! Maybe she knew what was going on. Maybe she didn't.
Well, I mean, there is that scene where they're trying to bust through that really like thin door, but for some reason that little like slide barrel lock latch is holding all these brood back, you know. But you know, she's obviously there, and she's acting pretty decently there. She's scared.
Well, I would imagine being a 5-year-old and having a whole set wall behind you, like literally shaking from somebody, like making it seem like someone's trying to come through, that it's gonna feel visceral enough to be like, ah,
yeah, and. okay, so the very first murder of Grandma, like one of the brood like grabs a hold of like some banister railings and leaves handprints.
Yeah.
Why didn't they think that the little girl was the murderer when you have tiny little blood handprints at the
front of the bridge? Oh, I thought that's where the movie was going to go as soon as the police officer was like, yeah, I had our shrink talk to her, and it's like, oh shit, they think she murdered him. Oh, cool. Nope.
I think they think that, but then the other murder happens like so quick.
No, because the police officer says some bullshit line about like, we were looking for a musician from some random place.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, I don't know. The psychiatrist does kind of it leads the audience and everyone else, like, we're suspecting her.
Yeah. She went upstairs and she went to sleep and it was hard to wake her. You know, other kids have also gotten fucked up too, right? Like, that happens all the time. Okay, you made your point.
Well, it actually took me a minute because even though they showed the little demon kid, like with the like a very clearly different face and like different clothes and everything, I just thought she like went upstairs and changed, and they switched actors because like they needed to do stunt work.
It was like a body double.
And so I still thought it was her.
Stunt double looks terrible.
I did. That's what I thought. You know, but I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to judge you for your choices.
You know what? You'll get a pass on this one. Yeah.
That little girl can't get up in the corner and jump. Like, come on, right. It's okay.
Dude, that was so badass. Like perched up in the corner. I love all of that.
Yeah, that was really neat. That was scary.
There's just something about like something that's off to kill you, and it wants to bludgeon you. Like it finds like these hard little objects, like a little snow globe or whatever, and just beats you to fucking death with it.
It got the paperweight in that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. That's horrible.
When it just throws it at him and it lodges in the wall, it's like, oh shit. Yeah, of course that beats someone's skull in. Cool.
Yeah.
That is cool when it lodges into the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the paperweight was... I really, my favorite part in horror movies, by which I mean like my least favorite part, is when they find like everyday household objects that can like actually kill you.
Yeah.
And the paperweight one was really well done in this movie.
Kristen's like, how many paperweights do I have in my house right now?
No, but like, I know I watched one horror movie where like they pulled a cheese grater out and started like grating.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like stuff like that is... Both really great and really horrible.
That's also the best thing about a Jason Bourne movie is he can kill you with everything in the room, even including this book. You know,
yeah, right. Fucking pencil.
Oh, that was good. Well timed, Mike.
Yeah, that's good.
Anybody excited for Ballerina coming out this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm holding my excitement. I'm going to watch it with low expectations and hope to enjoy it anyway.
That's not a good question to ask.
Touche, Kristen, touche. I can't believe you guys were bored by this. I'm sorry. I'm just having a hard time with that one, guys. I liked it.
I told you after I watched it, I actually enjoyed this movie. I thought it was pretty good.
No. I'm not talking about I'm just saying, like, bored by it, though. That just kind of breaks my brain a little bit. Because it is a kill, like, every 20 minutes. It's like a TV show episode where, like, we're solving a mystery.
I think, okay, look. Even the TV shows that are paced like this, that I do enjoy, like, it still takes me some time to get into it because, again, we're just so used to things constantly happening. And if they're not happening, we pull out our phone to make sure that something is constantly happening. I think this is a result of the modern world, not a fault of the film.
I disagree. I think this movie is paced just like Aquaman. Hear me out. That is a movie that doesn't know how to give exposition. So every time the movie has to give exposition, it's like, oh shit, the audience is probably bored. Let's throw in an action sequence. Like if you watch it, that is the entire cadence of the movie. I think this is kind of the same sort of situation. It's like, we haven't really done anything in a minute. Let's throw in a murder. Cool. It's been 20 minutes. Let's do another murder. I don't feel things like leading up to these moments or like there's no bomb under the table and we're concerned about like the thing happening. It's just like, okay, we haven't seen something for a minute. Boom, another murder.
Oh, yeah, because you save that for the end.
You don't build that suspense sequence in the middle of the movie. Or, you know, that's the end sequence, right? When Oliver Reed's got to go upstairs and the husband's got to, I don't know, lie to the wife and be like, we're going to get back together and keep her calm. That's the bomb going off the table, right? I mean, that's suspense. Everybody's looking at me like, no, go fuck yourself. That's not.
It wasn't suspenseful.
No. Wasn't suspenseful.
It felt formulaic. It felt like, all right, cool. Yeah, she's going to believe it for a minute, and then she's going to not, because the movie needs her to not believe it because she is becoming the villain. Why was Oliver Reed not more specifically portrayed as the villain when he was the one who was clearly abusing these people that are working with him? I mean, like, the Mike guy was like, I'm obsessed with you. Like, I'm addicted to you. Like, this guy was.
I feel like Oliver Reed was the villain. Like, I felt like that was very clearly depicted. Like, I mean, just because he has, like, a mad scientist, Dr. Frankenstein, like, a change of heart at the end because he's like, oh, my God, my creations killed three people. Like, it doesn't mean he's a good guy. It just means, like, oh, shit, I realize the consequences of my action. It's a little too late.
Sorry, guys. I guess I'm going to get beaten to death now.
Well, it just means he won't go to jail because he feels bad. That's it. That's all. He's still the villain.
I mean, you know, he got beaten to death. He got, like, karate chopped by, like, I don't know, whatever, the personified rage.
Zombie summer camp from hell. They're all wearing those little matching onesies and those fucking bunk beds lining that room. God damn.
It's just fantastic, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. I just looked at it and was like, someone went to church camp as a kid. Cool.
I just laugh at that one little fucking little person. I think it's the second one that just, like, karate kicks and, like, lands on fucking Oliver Reed. It is so fucking – in his face, man, when he gets hit. It's like, oh, it's so great. Oh, it's so fucking – I think that – oh, I love it.
I don't know. I think some of the themes here are pretty amazing, which is not only that, like, abuse kind of begets abuse, but also, like, just because you're trying to help people and you have good intentions doesn't mean you're a good person. Like, I think the themes here are really solid. And I think this movie is really good, too. I can complain about certain parts of it, but I don't know that they're necessarily, like, real critiques of this. I think this is a good film. Psychological. I think it's a psychological horror film, but maybe the lack of suspense is the only thing that I would really criticize here, but that doesn't mean that this is not a pretty fascinating film for me.
Yeah, the acting, I think, is the only thing that
okay.
Apparently
I do think
gets on my nerves every now and again, but
I
look at you, Mike.
It was overdone, but I didn't have a problem with it. I don't know. I mean, it's not like I've never seen bad acting before.
Oh, my God. Oliver Reed is the only one who is even remotely good in this movie. And he is only good in certain times. Some of times he's trying too hard and overplaying the other people that are in the scene with him. And it feels awkward the entire time. I don't like a single person acting in this film. They're all bad. Like, Oliver Reed isn't a fucking legend. And he's just like, he's doing this the entire movie, and if he's not doing this, someone else is doing it to him.
Oh, that's how, like, Oliver Reed has always acted, bro. That's how he is even in Gladiator.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Like, he takes his sentences and, like, breaks them down to, like, little short sentences, puts pauses, and then continues the sentence. But it's very abrupt, it's very short. I mean, yeah, that's his thing. That's his shtick.
With his big scary eyes the whole time staring into your soul.
And the whole fucking movie is ADR'd. Like, the entire movie is all done in post, sound-wise. I don't think there's anything in it that is, like, sound on set. Maybe I'm wrong, but, like, I kind of listened for it a little bit more on the second go. It's all, like, footsteps are added in, corridors are added in, like, all the dialogue, because it's all mixed in mono anyway, so, like, all the dialogue is just, like, whispered into a fucking close-ass microphone, and they're, like, far away from any possible things. Like, it's all ADR'd. And sometimes it kind of pulls me out of it, too. That's one of my problems with the deliveries, is that it feels a little bit disconnected from what's actually happening on screen.
Man, if most of it's ADR'd, that it's really fucking well done for its budget level.
Yeah, but I didn't feel that it was ADR'd.
No,
I think you also, it may just be, it's just like old film, you know, old film recording.
Oh, but you know what I will say about the sound is that I could hear all of the dialogue without any issues, and it was really nice to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, don't go see Sinners. Holy shit. I'm talking about like garbled dialogue.
Hey, it's just as garbled as a Nolan movie, okay?
I know that's what he was saying.
I understood everything they were saying in that movie.
No, you didn't, Mike. We'll talk about it later. You're full of shit.
You didn't see it in the fucking IMAX.
You didn't see it in IMAX. I'll tell you that.
I saw it at the MXT downtown. It was fucking brilliant, yeah.
There's definitely some moments where it's like, bass up, volume on the actors, I don't know, really down. like at a 2 or something, where it's like, are they speaking? Is this a silent movie? What's going on? I don't know. Pretty sure by heart.
I mean, that is a legitimate difference, though, in mixing for an 11.3 or whatever, like, Atmos system versus literally mono. This 1979 movie was mixed in mono, so, like...
Yeah.
There's nowhere to hide when you don't have a stereo field to put things in. Like if the dialogue's right. Not up enough to hear it, like it's just gone. But yeah, that was the thing that I was kind of missing from the mix in this is there's just not enough like room sound or like, you know, reverb to make things sound alive and like they're in an actual environment. That's why it feels very studio clean in a way that kind of detracts from what's happening.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning of this. Was I was saying that it's theatrical, you know. It's just it's all big and I don't know. It's just old. Maybe that's just old style movie. You know, we're just more subtle now, and that's what. Maybe that's the thing that we have to struggle with watching older films. You know, you have to separate yourself from the time.
You have to remember, like we're talking about sound here, sound design. Walter Murch, that whole term was coined this year in Apocalypse Now. That came out the same year this movie was released. So put it in perspective. Like motherfuckers hadn't even seen fucking, you know, ceiling fans turn into helicopter blades. You know, like that hadn't even been visualized yet. Which,
bro, anytime you've ever laid in bed and looked up at the fucking you think of a helicopter even before you even saw that movie. Come on.
Why did no motherfucker put it in a movie then? Damn. Why did it take 1979? We got to wait like 70 some fucking almost like goddamn 100 years. What are we doing? Goddamn. Let's get it going.
You guys are really slacking on your imagery, you know?
Helicopters have been around for how long?
Goddamn, it took this long.
We can't take a little sound from here, a little picture from there, and put it together. I mean, what are we doing? What's going on?
Francis Ford Coppola had a fever dream and was like, I get it. I know how to do this now.
Holy shit. Walt Disney was onto something. Fuck.
Brian, can we watch this trailer?
Do we want to listen to the TV spot? The radio spot, sorry. It's
listen
pretty good.
To the radio spot?
Yeah. It's only 30 seconds, too. If that one, you know, I don't want to bore you guys with a 2-minute long trailer now.
But sometimes, can we do both? Because I like to see the trailer so I can remember the movie.
That is some real fucking talk.
All right, we'll play the trailer for David Cronenberg's The Brood. We'll be right back.
They come from the unknown. And they're here now, hiding, waiting to strike. You can feel their presence all around you. Never before have you come this close to the edge of terror. Never before have you faced anything so strange and sinister, so bizarre and unnerving. Never until now. David Cronenberg's The Brood.
Are you ready for me, Frank? I seem to be a very special person now. I'm in the middle of a strange adventure.
I want to go with you wherever you go.
Do you?
Yes.
Then look!
The Brood. You can run. You can hide and hope they won't find you. But you won't escape. Once unleashed, the Brood will destroy anyone who gets in their way. David Cronenberg's Ultimate Experience in Inner Terror, starring Oliver Reed and Samantha Eggar. The Brood.
They're waiting for you.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for David Cronenberg's The Brood.
Bro, all right. The marketing for this film doesn't match the movie. No, they're coming for you or like whatever. No, they're not. It's a pointed fucking thing. It's a manifestation of I want you to go kill this thing. I'm controlling these things. It's not like that they're what?
Wait, they're not controlling. Hold on.
The mother is controlling them. She can like whatever she manifests.
No, she's not controlling them. She's dreaming.
Yeah, but like she's upset and she doesn't like that the woman's like encroaching on her fucking relationship. So she thinks about like I hate this person, so they go kill her. Like it's the things.
I think they're acting independently. Yes, it's her emotions and her thoughts, but I don't think she's like sending them to kill her.
Okay, like yes, I agreed with that interpretation until the very end of the movie, when she literally says like if I can't have my daughter. Well then, I would rather see her dead than for her to just be with you, and like she literally hears her kid screaming upstairs. Like if at that point if she's not pointedly doing it, she knows she is. At that point,
yeah, I think she could have become aware of it at that point. Yes, I don't think she's actively doing it. I don't think she's in her right mind to be able to even do something like that, and that would make her. Like truly like an evil person, and I don't think she is.
That's why he had to choke her to death, because she was finally getting there. She finally realized the power she had.
Yeah.
But according to the grandfather, if he had just choked her to death at the very beginning, this would all have been over.
That's right, man. It'd be no movie.
Yeah. Or if grandpa had actually I don't know, apparently beat the mom, because that's what Samantha Eggers' character was like, if you just had stood up for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My abusive mother.
Well, that means, did her mother have a brood? It seems like this is passed down to the females of the family.
Well, are you talking about the external?
Isn't that like at the end when you see the little girl and she's got the little nodules?
I don't think that means that the grandmother had anything to do with it.
I thought the doctor like had that installed on the mother, and then it just kind of like got onto the little girl. I don't think it's like a hereditary thing.
No, that's the whole thing the doctor's doing. Yeah. Like that's why
it's
you're seeing
phytoplasma. What is it called? Oh,
psychoplasmics or
something like that.
Yeah. Psychoplasmics.
But this is on a genetic condition.
That's the whole thing. Like at the very beginning of the movie, when you're watching him, with the Mike character, when he's like, "Oh, daddy, daddy," like he looks normal, and then he's like, "Show me your anger," and then he gets these boils or I don't know, red rashes on him. Mm-hmm. So I think he's getting this doctor's getting everyone to like. And we don't know if he's giving them a drug or what exactly this regiment, what they're doing at this institution.
Is that what the weird fucking guy was trying to say was happening when he was talking about like having cancer after going to the thing? And
yeah.
That's why he was growing the shit on his neck.
Yeah. I think it was,
that shit made sense.
It's an interesting idea of like when you have like these emotions and where do they go, and he's trying to channel them through something else. And of course we see by the end that they have devastating consequences. But I think that's what the doctor's trying to do, is create to create a channel for your emotions to go through so that you can like sort of purify yourself and your mind and all of that.
Yeah, I forget what the psycho babble he has in the movie, but you're taking your repressed anger, your repressed emotions, and you're displaying them outward. You're releasing them.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Is like, so this woman is like releasing all of her abuse that she's endured and all of her trauma, and that she's actually
traumatizing the people around instead of,
right, exactly. So it's being released into the world in the form of these children terrorizing people. But it's the same way as like, yeah, when we get, you know, someone who is abused will, I forget the percentage, but it's more likely to also be an abuser, kind of, because that's sort of what they learned and how they pass it down and how they express themselves now, because that's what they learned. So I thought it was an interesting way to show all of that. Oh, but I don't think it's not hereditary. The little girl, I think, picked up something while she was around her mother. And it's like
around the bird. She's sleeping with all of them.
And I think it's like just growing on her. I don't think that it's.
Well, she was doing those weekend therapies. Like every weekend, she was being dropped off. Yeah, she was being dropped off at that clinic, right? Yeah. So, like, she's being exposed to whatever that psychoplasmic regiment. Maybe it's just I don't know. Maybe it's just them talking in rooms, but I don't understand how that would make your anger manifest on your body on the outside. I don't know.
That's what happens at the beginning when they're sitting crisscross applesauce, knees to knees, and having their thing. But at the end, he like reveals he's grown all these pustules in front of everybody.
Yeah, is that supposed to be his externalized emotions on his body, and that's why he looks all fucked up? Because the movie does not make that clear.
No. That's what the whole thing. Like Oliver Reeves, like he's like, show me your anger, and he's like in the shot before he's fine. And then he disrobes, and like his face that was normal is now has red splotches all over it. He's got them all over his body, and you could see his chest before, because he was wearing like a it was like a karate robe
like
or something,
like a fucking bathrobe or something. I
wonder if this was like an experiment to be like, here's a safe way to have your anger, for example, have your sadness, your grief, your trauma, without harming people by just sort of expelling it in this way, except of course we see that there are consequences. And I wonder if that's what he was trying to do.
Well, I see. It was like a Tony Robbins seminar, you know?
I wish we had something like that, because the movie does not go into any of this depth that you guys are getting from it. Like, I love this as a concept to be explored, but
no, I got this from the movie.
No, it's totally there, dude.
I didn't make this up. I wish I'd.
The way that you're talking about it and the way that you're articulating it is infinitely more interesting and articulate than the movie was trying to make it, these things out to be. Like, I didn't see those things happening.
I mean, it was there, dude. She got so pissed. There was a tumor growing on her. It was a tumor. And turns out there was a baby in the tumor.
Okay, do we want to talk about
them, actually
the baby and her like cleaning it?
Licking it clean.
Yeah.
I was reading an interview, and Cronenberg said that when he first released it, they didn't like that she was licking it, so they cut it. They
US
tried
censors,
to cut around it.
NPAA.
And it just looked like she was eating her baby instead.
Damn.
And he's like, that's way worse.
She's supposed to eat the placenta, right? That would be pretty badass. You know, she's cleaning it and then she starts just like gnawing down on.
Well, theoretically, there wouldn't be a placenta because they already had the whole scene with the coroner being like, hey, did you notice the thing? Like the thing, did you notice it? There's no belly button.
So how do those things feed? If they're still born, but they don't have.
The coroner goes over that. There's a hump in their back that has some kind of fluid that slowly.
The camel sack on their back.
Yeah, they slowly use it up, and he says like they burn out of gas or something like that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So I guess they're born with that in the womb, and that's how they get over the not needing an umbilical cord.
It would have been cool if we could see like the brood just like every so often, like one just like drops dead because he used his little sack. We don't get that.
No, that does happen. That's
happen?
Like the one that attacks the guy.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Like, okay, he turns around, he's like, oh, fuck, and then it just dies. He's like, all right, that was lucky.
Okay, you're right. I forgot about that.
When I first saw this when I was a kid, I was like, wow, that thing died from being thrown against the wall?
Yeah, I was like, they're pretty weak, man. They like beat you to death with their hands, but with their man hands. But they're pretty easy to kill.
I was like, yeah, that's bizarre. But yeah, I do like, and I like how that flashback has that weird, like, purple blue tint. Not blue, but pink tint.
No, it's just straight purple tint. Yeah.
It's cool.
When they're in the corner. Like, he's remembering what was they were talking about.
Yeah.
It's got a weird vibe to it. Yeah. What color? Was it green or was it? No, it was
purple.
It was purple, magenta. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't want to call it purple because that's not a real color, you know.
Yeah, purple. Well, purple's not real.
Well.
Your brain makes the color purple.
Well,
so it was definitely like a magenta or like a pink. Maybe, I don't know. I could call it a violet.
Yeah, you could use that word to describe it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Depends on whether what version you're watching.
Oh, that's what ultraviolet meant.
I don't know if this is just because they're in Canada and it's winter time, but I was noticing how thick all the clothes were, and I thought that was really nice. Our clothes are so papery thin now that I was really admiring the weight of their clothing. But it could just be because they're in Canada. I don't know.
Canadian it's clothes are thicker?
Yeah, it's colder there, so they have maybe, like, yeah, cotton and wool and things that we don't
have. We wear nothing but polyester, which is like...
Well, no, but even our cotton shirts are significantly thinner than they used to be. Wait, have you never noticed? You don't notice?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't make this up. I have... I actually... A company came out with a same style of clothes that I bought 20 years ago, so I bought it again, and I can like actually compare the quality is like completely different. And so looking at clothing from the 70s I was a little jealous.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the costumes right now, and outside of the little kids, you know,
the snowsuits, I thought.
Yeah, I just looked through some stills. Yeah,
nothing's really I don't think anything is really interesting to look at, except maybe I do like the gown at the end, but like honestly I don't know that the costumes were like really worthy of note here.
Oh, the bathrobe Oliver Reed shows up with when he's got that like a yellow towel around his neck, because the bathrobe, I don't know, reason I noticed that. Yeah, it was so short. Showing some thigh.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and there was one scene where I really liked the jacket, and then they did like a full frame, and I saw it with the pants, and I was like, oh, that looks terrible.
It's a great jacket, just not with those pants. Madame.
Yeah, not with those pants. Like, what were you thinking?
No, a jacket goes with everything. It doesn't matter.
Was it the brown jacket?
With the brown pants.
With the brown pants? Because everything's fucking brown in this movie.
The shades were, like, not complimentary.
Yeah. You got to have some contrast or something. Yes, like a dark one and a light one. Like, come on. You can't have almost monochromatic, but not be,
exactly.
Actually monochromatic.
I was going to say, you can, like, match if you want, but, like, not.
Yeah, but don't be, like, almost the same shade, but not the same shade. Like, come on. What'd you guys think about the teacher character? Like, was that supposed to be like a maybe the dad's gonna fall for her and like see something else, or did it like how did that whole situation feel to you guys?
I thought, I mean, he is getting divorced, and I don't know, men hit on teachers a lot, their kids' teachers a lot. I don't know why. I guess because it's like a woman right there, and so
you trained my kid real well. I love you.
My kid already likes you. Yeah, I can learn to like you. It's fine. It's fine.
I don't have to introduce you. You already know each other. You've got such a great relationship.
Some real fucking talk.
Yeah.
All right, this is making a lot of sense. You guys are selling this in a very logical
way.
Right.
We should be looking for a fucking teacher.
Yeah, like,
man.
My kid's a good like judge of character. Like, you must be a great person. How you doing?
She talks about you all the time. Such a great.
All right, we need to find single teachers. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I thought that part was believable.
Did it seem like he was hitting on the teacher, or that she was kind of more coming on to him? Because she was definitely like, hey, we need to have a talk about your kid.
Which I think is the thing that happens when he...
Oh, sure, yeah. No, definitely, they're going through a lot. But like, he's like, oh, what?
She does.
Yeah, because that's the thing they say to... Listen, that's the thing they say to moms. And so I think the dad was like, oh, really? Oh, she's definitely hitting on me, even though she was not.
The kid
Yeah, the kid is the one who's like, hey, she said she's hungry. Can we feed her at our house?
Yeah.
But she goes. Yeah. I'm just, you know.
I think it's a thing that everyone was interested in, and except for the wife. The wife was not too keen on it. I think it was handled interestingly. And it got the job done.
It is kind of crazy. They didn't go like some sex route and then like something weird happened. I mean, it is a Cronenberg movie, so.
Body horror and sex stuff.
Mm. Would they have
this
done?
This is the director of Crash, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, when did Crash come out?
Oh, 95, 96.
But.
Maybe later.
Would they have done like I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of censorship. Would they have done like an affair, like a sex with like an affair, like on screen? Would that have been done? Because I know it was very taboo in books at the time. Would it have been shown on screen?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Cronenberg's movies before this are like are mostly about like kind of like zombie films, but they're sexually transmitted diseases. So like characters fuck and then they turn into zombies.
That makes sense. Nice. Yeah. So yeah, like at the time, if you wrote about a character having sex in a book and it was not like a married couple, like something really bad had to happen to them. So turning them into zombies makes sense. I guess they did they, you know, I guess if they die in this, it's fine, right? It's punishment.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, Fatal Attraction was 87, so that was a little bit after this. So for something like affairs and things going wrong.
I'm kind of okay with every character in this movie dying, though.
You mean there's no one who dies that you're like, oh, no. All right, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, it's not that I'm, they're
that
all kind of
such a bad actor, man. She just deserves to die. Just stop it.
That grandmother, she is a fucking alcoholic. She needs to go.
Yeah. Dude, grandma is an alcoholic. She's like, I'm going to go get a refill. And she's still got like,
bro, she has three refills in the first like 10 minutes. Yeah, that kid
like,
is over.
Like, you need a refill? Like, you still have like
Jesus. Freshen my drink.
And she didn't no ice, nothing. She's drinking it straight and sipping it.
Yep.
Oof. Grandma.
I think grandma was trying to get a moment going when the dad dropped the kid off, but
with who? Him?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Wait, what?
I mean, like, it looked like she was like going down memory lane and, you know, like,
oh,
these,
oh, I've had a bout of nostalgia,
you know,
like, well, she's showing pictures to the kid, you know that's what you do. You're like,
I'm not talking about the kid, I was talking about her dad, like, you know. What are you talking about, Jared, the kid? What?
Wait, so you're saying it seemed like the grandma was coming on to
the dad, yeah. I mean, it looked like she was getting drunk, right? And she was like, oh, you know, like, your kids blame you for everything. Like, I would never hit my own kid. Like, obviously, you don't believe that, because if you believe that, you wouldn't leave your child here with me, right? So that must mean I'm...
I guess she was kind of saying that.
It must mean that I'm good, and that you like. And he's just like, "All right, shut the fuck up, stop."
Well, hold on, because because isn't this the Eggers's mother? Like, isn't this
yes?
So she's being accused of abuse.
She is,
and so
and
that
she's denying
makes
it.
Sense that she's saying, "You clearly trust me, because I must be a good mom." I think that makes sense. She's not hitting on him.
While she's drinking? I don't know.
While she's drinking? Wait, what's wrong with the alcohol? What are you talking about?
I'm saying, she's saying she didn't abuse her kid, right? And like, but she's also clearly a drunk and is clearly like drinking while she's taking care of this kid. I'm not saying that's the reason why she's hitting on him. I think she's just hitting on him because she's like, you know, I don't know, a bored woman.
Oh, maybe she like needs his approval, and the only way she knows how to do it is like sexually.
I mean, he does have a line later where he's like, "Oh yeah, she has had a slew of lovers, and I've never met any of them," or something like that.
Hmm.
And she hasn't been married since the one guy.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Whatever. Maybe I was reading into it too much. That's all.
No, it's an interesting idea.
That went over me. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on her hitting on him. Or seeking his approval. I was just like, this woman is like going off the deep end and needs to lay off the sauce. And then she gets a refill before he even fucking leaves. Like, damn.
Yeah, I was looking at where the key light was coming from in the coverage in that scene.
yeah, because you didn't give a shit about what was going on because none of the characters are connecting to you, Jared.
There's one scene where is it Grandpa who's sitting on the couch and he gets a phone call? There's an older man on the couch with a phone call. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Or he calls whatever. He calls the husband, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The key jumps aside. In the wide shot, it's coming from the right, and then when it cuts into the close-up, it's coming from the left, and he has a hard shadow on camera side, which is very pretty. And I see why they did that, but they did not match the two shots at all, and it was really like, jarring to me.
No, that was one of those moments where the TP looks at it and goes, Yeah, we chose the wrong side. Let's switch
yeah,
it for
let's
the close
just up. Let's fix it for the close up. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I was wrong.
I fucked up.
We
but
still
we can't
had some over there. It's fine. It's fine.
You're not going to cut to that shot, but once, right? But he used it twice. But
film so low budget. I give him.
Oh
a pass.
No!
What is the budget on this?
$1.4 Canadian million. Canadian dollars.
$1.4 Canadian dollars.
$1.4 million Canadian dollars.
How long did they have to shoot this? Do you know? Any idea?
Well, something to do with like the tax credit that they would get. They got a surplus of money at the end of the year, and most of David Cronenberg's movies that he would do in Canada, he would get like a lot of government money at the end of the year, and he would have usually like a couple of months to get the whole film done. So he would have like scripts written earlier in the year that he would save, and then it was kind of just like, all right, this is the amount of money we have. Which one can we make for that amount of money? Who can we get?
Wow.
And of course, a lot of their budget went to Oliver Reed and Samantha Eggar.
Sure. Who, grand scheme of things, had very little to do in this movie. Like, she's only in a few scenes.
Oh, yeah.
She probably could have shot out her shit in less than a week. Like
4 days.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
She was on set for 4 days.
4 days. Yeah.
Wow.
And she said it was the smallest film crew that she's ever worked for.
Holy shit.
There was only seven people on set. What's that?
I said she hadn't worked a lot, huh?
No, man. She comes from old Hollywood, bro. So the small, low-budget kind of indie set, that didn't really exist except for in Europe. That's not an American idea. You know, like American sets had, like, you know, 50, 100.
People standing around.
Yeah. You were just, you know, you were paid by the studio. It was a different time.
Okay, so she shot her stuff in 4 days. Did you say how long they shot the whole movie?
I couldn't find that. 2 months
of whole production? No, yeah, okay. Because some of the stuff feels really fucking rushed. Like, all the stuff outside of the house, like the, not the house, like the compound thing where all their, where Eggers is and where the doctor is. There's only like one shot where you see without like a gradient filter on the top of the thing where they're trying to make it more like a day for night situation. Like it seems like all that stuff was like, well, we have one fucking day to shoot all of this exterior things. And there's like two or three shots where like a car is driving, where he's driving the car and you see it and it feels like actual nighttime where there's darkness enough to like see the headlights coming from the car. But like most of the stuff, especially like when he's like, oh, the kid's at the place and I gotta go get her and he's running through the woods, like all the shots are all like ND filter shit on the top of the graduated filter. So it's like trying to make it feel more night for day, but it's like really awkward and just feels, I don't know, rushed or second unit kind of thing.
Well, they ran out of time. So in Canada, in December, your days are super fucking short of actual daylight. Yeah. So Mark Irwin is kind of like, he's a pioneer of day for night. He does a lot of really good stuff. Most of the playground shots that you see where you don't see the sky, those are shot at night.
Interesting.
And really? Those are just lit to match the, like, that's why you can, like, that's all why a lot of the shadows will change from wide to close up is because you're going from day to a close up that is being shot at night. And it's completely different lighting setup just because they ran out of time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of instances like that. But the playground is like a huge like moment where like there's like you'll see little kids and inserts and stuff. And that's actually at night.
I need to see that again.
That none of that really stood out to me, which is really interesting because like
that's awesome.
It struck me that like it seemed like they had like noontime to shoot stuff where it was trying to be like almost darkness because the whole end sequence like where he's going to finally confront her, like once he gets to the actual house thing, then it's like super overlit and you have two big giant HMIs coming from either side of the building. And that feels like kind of awkward, like, okay, well, this is what I would expect, like a lower budget indie film at night shooting the things, which is why all the sequence leading up to that feels so like, why'd you shoot that during the day, but then you had the night, like, but you only had, I don't know. Some of it just cuts weird.
Well, it gets really confusing too, because you can tell, like, the Oliver Reed, when he's like, when he's outside the compound and he's going like upstairs to where the brood are sleeping, you don't know that at that point. That's really got that grain, that filter, and they keep cutting back to the husband doing stuff, and they keep cutting back to Oliver Reed, and it's, you know, they're shooting it at the same exact time, but it's supposed to be even later, and it's like, is this perpetual twilight?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, there are things like that, but I don't, he's just low budget. What are you going to do?
Yeah. That's, those are the points where I feel the low budget as opposed to like, sometimes you can make some decisions creatively when you have low budget things and you're like, oh, I see the limitations, but it works for the story. This just felt more like, oh, we didn't have the time or the whatever to be able to shoot this at the time of day that we needed it to. And like, they're trying to make it become something else and it's just not quite working.
Yeah.
It's a struggle, man. It's a fucking struggle.
I think some of the production design too, some of the walls are like a little bare and certain things look a little cheap plywood, or you know, and it's just like that should be a little bit sturdier, or at least appear to be.
You mean,
dude,
like when
the doorway, when the brood is beating it down with the little girl standing there? Yeah, God, there's no way they're not knocking that door down, dude.
Bro, how do they punch fucking through it like three times in one shot? And like, how is she still on the other side of that wall? Yeah.
But even that room, like his wife's kept in, like, I guess it's supposed to be like a barn and it's supposed to be kept separate, but it's like, I mean, it looks like a shitty built barn that like they put up in like a week. And I don't know, maybe that was supposed to be the idea, but I don't know.
Oh, that like triangle room.
Yeah, where they're keeping the bed in it, the wife, and then the brood are upstairs.
Yeah. Very strange.
It looks cheap. And the building looks so cool because you got all the glass walls, like in the doctor's office and everything. I don't know. Or those big windows. I don't know.
Yeah, even when he goes to visit, like, the lawyer or the dude that's like, you call this guy and you be a mensch. Like, that, even that set, like, looks like there's some production value and stuff like that. So, like, to have the finale of the movie be in this, like, fucking weird like, zombie children's place with all,
it's just a choice. I'm not 100%. I don't think I understand 100%. Anybody got anything else, or are we at ratings? Who's rating this brood? Not brew.
Do you want me to go first so you guys can like actually end on a good note?
Sure, Mike.
This movie is not for me. On a scale of 1 to a movie that I appreciate, this movie fucking sucks. I hate it. like, seriously, like, what the fuck? Like, this was not entertaining. It was boring as shit. None of the characters work. All of the acting is overacting, including way more of Oliver Reed's moments than needed to be. I think the movie is trying to be things that it doesn't ever quite get to because of its low budget kind of suffers in this. And not in a way that I would want low budget indie filmmaking to like inspire interesting creative decisions. It's more just like, everything feels bland and brown and boring. I think the production design is boring. I think the cinematography is bland and moderately interesting at best. Like, there's a few moments where I'm like, cool, they had a fissure so they could do like a little boom up shot, and then they did the boom down shot when the little girl walked past in the same shot. Cool. I see some of the crew trying to do things to make this work a little bit better, but I just don't feel like the story is doing anything. It feels formulaic. It feels low stakes. There's not a lot of ways that we actually understand what's going on. Maybe it's just because it didn't fucking connect to me. This is a piece of shit, guys. I'm sorry. I was bored as fuck and I was annoyed that we were watching it. I'm going to give this a 3. I don't understand why Cronenberg is beloved the way he is. Most of this was gross. Most of it was like patriarchal, ridiculous bullshit. I didn't like anything about this movie. I'm legitimately frustrated that I had to watch it. And I watched it twice just to see if I was wrong, and I felt worse the second time. I fucking hate this movie. This is a 3. Tell me why I'm wrong, please.
I mean, I would say any film released by the Criterion Collection at least warrants a watch.
I gave it 2, and I disagree.
And has something to say. I don't know. Maybe let's look again. Who's going next? Who's following that? Fuck, a 3? Fuck, come on, Griggs. Come on. Who's following that 3?
I think there's a lot to like about this film, actually. I really enjoyed all of the psychological aspects of it. I also really enjoyed the body horror in this and how and what they were trying to do and to say with it. I do think this is a bit dated. I do think that I can see that it's sort of visually bland, but I actually think that kind of works in its horror. You have this bland world where people don't really express themselves, and that's why they need this psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever he is. That's why they can't express themselves. That's and to see that the actual manifestation of your negative emotions, and like imagine if every time you were like, man, I really hate my boss, and then like you had a little thought form that went out to try and kill him. I mean, I don't know. I think it's super interesting to see how all of this played out. And this reminded me of a lot of the horror movies that came out kind of around the same time with the little blonde kids. And I watch those all the time. And this one was not in the mix, just probably because it wasn't on USA. And I feel like it should have been. I think I would have enjoyed this one actually a lot more than the others. I do think that some of the faults were the lack of budget. I don't think there's a lack of talent here. I think the script is interesting. I think the direction is great. And I think the ideas are really solid and worth exploring. And honestly, I still enjoy this movie. I only really take issue with it being like a horror film because I didn't really find it suspenseful, but I still found it very intriguing and interesting and worth watching, worth exploring, worth talking about. So I'm going to give it an 8 just because I wasn't really scared in any real sense of the word. I think it's pretty good.
You know, Christian, I would say that that's true for almost all of Cronenberg's work. You know, it's not, I don't really find any of it like suspenseful or,
yeah,
there's very few jump scares in his work. There are some, but like it's never, it's always dreadful. It's always like,
yeah,
intellectual food for thought, things I think about and creep
I agree.
Me out later.
I agree. And I do think like, yeah, all of that. And even just, oh my God, I know we already talked about like the mother and the way she like just kind of like lays there and just kind of talks, and she's like clearly kind of a victim, but then also you can see her morphing into the villain at the same time and just kind of going back and forth. I think there's a lot of really amazing stuff here, and it that is what makes it creepy, and that is what makes it dreadful. Maybe the label of horror is just a lack of us having a proper label for this, you know, because for what it is and for what Cronenberg does, this is great. So are you trying to get me to give it a 10? Because I guess I can do that.
No, we can talk you up if we want to.
No, no. I'll take an 8 after that fucking 3. That sounds like a 10 to me.
You know, it's weird that I think it does fall in the realm of horror, especially it's of all the grotesque stuff and when you got murder and all that. And it's kind of like you're right. It's interesting that the mother seems like she, you know, she's like, tucked away and she doesn't feel like she has power, even though that she clearly does. And then when she realizes that she does have power over the situation, that's what makes her even more of a monster beyond what she already is. I like Cronenberg movies because they do make you think, and they're always so fucking weird, and you're like, what the fuck are you trying to say with this? And unlike what I feel like David Lynch does, he makes weird shit just to be fucking weird. Cronenberg actually does try to have at least a fucking poignant statement in what he's doing in everything that he does. And this one is that apparently his ex-wife is a bitch, and he and apparently they tried to go to couples counseling or some shit and it didn't work out, and he told me, you know, it's like, you know, I've got to end this. But you know, the acting is, I think it's more the delivery, just the older style acting is what I struggle with the most of this. Other than that, I think it was shot pretty well. And like, this is interesting. And I love seeing a young Oliver Reed like this. I haven't seen a lot of his films, and I was like, holy shit, it's the guy from Gladiator. I know those eyes from anywhere. You know, yeah, but I also give it an 8. I think it's held back by a couple of things, but overall it's pretty solid.
All right, 2 8s and
tree.
No, 3 8s. Thank you.
Can
that
I get
was great.
Can I get a tree fitty?
We got 3 8s. Oh, thank you.
Oh no, no, you can't do a posthumous 8. No, it's a tree.
Oh, you know, we do have to remember, like, this was in 79. I do agree it is a little dated. It has lost a little bit of its effect, but. Does everybody remember Leonard Maltin? He had all those wonderful guides before IMDb existed that told us about all the movies in the world. He would have them in alphabetical order, and he gave us small little reviews. Well, here goes his small little review from 1979. Two sentences, right, for The Brood. Egger eats her own afterbirth while midget clones beat grandparents and a lovely young school teacher to death with mallets. It's a big, wide, wonderful world we live in. Bomb. Gave it 0 stars. Now, why did he give it 0 stars? Because it made him feel uncomfortable. Now, this is a running thing for Leonard Maltin. He also gave, like, Alien 1 star because it was icky and gross. And, like, a 50s movie. So, you know, he's a critic that rates from his heart. And when he's scared, he gives it a bomb, right? So it's a bad review because it made him feel emotions. So if a movie can do that, and at the time of its release, hell, the movie did its job. It was scary. Today, is it scary? No, it is a little dated. But it does provide a lot of food for thought. We have themes of divorce. We have themes of trauma, passed down trauma through our family lineage. What are we doing? Did we do that? We have the mother remembering being abused, and the grandmother, she doesn't have that memory, but she's also an alcoholic. You know, they forget things. So, I mean, it's such an interesting layered thing to actually think about. Like, later in life, like, you have all these layers to think about. I don't know. I'm going to give it a 9. Is it Cronenberg's best work? No, it's not. But, you know, this is the one where, like, you're not seeing his ideas per se, but you're seeing, like, his hallmarks, his cinematic style, his flavor, like how he's going to make movies from here on out. He carries this through to The Dead Zone, to The Fly. He does change it up a little bit, you know, when he gets to, like, in A History of Violence and things like that, later in the 90s. But yeah, this is kind of like his jam.
The Brood is a grotesque, squirming, hilariously shrill exploration of the bizarre and deadly side of motherhood.
I'll take it.
Really? Of motherhood?
Of sure. Motherhood. I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
Tongue in cheek. I like it.
Yeah. What would you know about that, Mike?
Tongue in afterbirth.
Rotten Tomatoes brings The Brood in with an 81% tomato meter and a 68% popcorn meter. Yeah, the short line is a mad doctor tries psychoclasmic therapy on a raging woman soon to be a mother.
Yeah.
But it's a mother
not
again.
Revealed that she's soon to be a mother until, like, yeah. She's, that's, wow, that, no, what?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Well, it's just as misleading as the fucking trailers. Like,
I mean, fair, yeah.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
All right, what would your 2 fucking sentence synopsis of this movie be, goddammit? I mean, come on!
I mean, like, I want to hear Cronenberg give me the fucking elevator pitch on this one, dude.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, X, at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can they follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jared B. Callen.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. It's X now, but whatever. You know, you get the idea. And you know what? We'll play 10 seconds of Howard Shore's score from the main titles. Maybe
we're
15.
Gonna get in trouble.
All right. Okay. Maybe we won't. Fuck you. We're not playing anything now. Silence.
You can just drag your fingernails down a chalkboard and be the same level of dissonant comfort.
I'm going to drag my fetus down the sidewalk. This is the sound, a minute of fetus dragging.
Wow, that's rough.